My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue-a-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws and monkey sounds in there called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, welcome in. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Danny and Dusty with you. What a great day. This is a Eugene edition. Again, I'm down in Eugene. Don't know if you heard this, Danny. Big game coming up this week. Big game.
I know. Oregon State and Nevada. No? That's not what we're talking about?
Big game coming up this week. Oregon is hosting Ohio State University. Yeah, that is the big one. And so down here, went out to practice today, and we'll have a lot of Oregon Ducks today. So another Danny and Dusty, it's like we're married and we just got separated. Mommy and Daddy are living in different houses.
Yes.
And right now, little Jeffy is
two Christmases!
He's in the tough spot where he just doesn't know how to handle this right now. But we will, the show will go on, and boy, it'll be a show. We're going to have story time with Uncle Jerry coming up at 1:30, Jerry Allen, voice of the Ducks. He's going to be jumping on with us live from Eugene. 1 o'clock, we've got a score to settle at 1 o'clock, but also have a good college football conversation with Danny Cannell.
Indeed.
And he's going to be joining us. We talk a little gambling with Danny Cannell, a little college football, obviously.
Do we bring
maybe
up Florida State?
Maybe that Oregon State Nevada matchup that Russ was talking about, the big one.
Maybe we should avoid Florida State.
Maybe we should. He is a Florida State Seminole.
He is, indeed.
And you might trigger him.
Yeah.
If you don't trigger him with the we're, because I know how this is going to go. You're going to drop the we were Danny and Dusty first. You're going to squat on that, and you may start a fight. That we can't win, I'm going to tell you that much.
Yeah, they have a larger...
yeah.
I hope you're going to say following and not something different.
Yeah, that.
No, they got the other...
We're not going Shannon Sharp.
The Dvorak.
Yeah.
Whoa. Wow. What? No.
A healthy,
that's where you went
male.
With that?
Well, I mean, you said he's got a bigger something.
I'll get it in.
Can we just revisit that and say in 2024 how wild the world is
that
Shannon
happens.
Sharp broadcasted sex on Instagram?
Shannon Sharp was having sex.
It was out of the news cycle in 36 hours. Like it was just something that was like, no, yeah, well. Yeah, we're going to forget about that.
That's
big deal.
Sounds about right.
I don't think it's an atrocity, Stephen A. I just think that Shannon Sharp gave the blueprint. He was like, we're just going to go ahead and not hide from it. Yeah. We're gonna get out in front of this bad boy and say, yeah, I'm a healthy, active male.
He did try to hide from it originally, and then he's like, all right, you got me.
Remember, he got hacked.
Yeah. I got hacked. Yeah. No, you can't. I got hacked on that one. Can I got hacked on that one? But we got
you can try.
Oh, yeah, that is true. We got a big show then already. We got two guests coming up in that 1 o'clock hour. Scary stuff going on in South Florida.
Yeah, to say the least.
Hurricane Milton is, whoa, golly Miss Molly.
There's a guy currently trying to ride out the hurricane with Flex Seal.
Oh, what? Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Wait.
He's got like a local business there, and he's trying to close the doors and using the spray Flex Seal to keep the
hurricane. He's also using it for his house. And then you've got other people that are trying to bubble wrap or saran wrap.
Well, or basically, yeah, like Visqueen almost. Yeah. Putting their vehicles in the garage and trying to wrap it up in plastic.
Like, we think that's going to stop the hurricane?
Again, mm-hmm. Florida man.
Florida's flooding very hard right now.
Wow. Yeah, it's terrifying, though. I got a buddy who lives in Tampa, and he said that, you know, they were lucky enough. They booked a place in Orlando. They went inland, and they're in a bunker-style hotel. I bet it's more of a motel if it's bunker-style. But they're just like, I guess we got to hope it the worst of it doesn't get to us at this far inland, and they're going to ride it out in Orlando. It's like a scary place. You have to evacuate the entire state. Well, yeah. Is it a peninsula?
Is it a hotel, motel, or a Holiday Inn?
Say what?
Very good.
By the way, for those that don't know, that used to be Jeff Rust's karaoke song.
It's a banger.
Yes, the Thanksgiving night one at the old Rococo's in Cedar Mill. Right near
Rococo's?
Yeah, it would be at Thanksgiving night because it was the only place open on Thanksgiving.
And
so we'd
go there and drink,
and they had karaoke, and yes, and I went up, and I would do like the full 10-minute version of
Rapper's Delight.
Yes,
huh?
We do need to have a 1080 the Fan karaoke.
I agree, absolutely. Let's do it.
But is Danny, like, everybody's going to sing, and then Danny's going to come up with death metal and just start going, bah!
I mean, I can do that.
Well, then let's face it. After I do Rapper's Delight, it'll turn into basically a Me First and the Gimme Gimme's karaoke show, too. So,
you know, just, I mean, have a little bit of fun with it.
All right. I think that the people on this show, we would be willing to sing.
Oh, God, yes.
I don't know if...
I've gone...
Literally.
I'll go hustle some money at a karaoke
anybody
place.
Else. Hustle some money. Hmm. Were you going to win a competition?
Oh,
what are you talking about?
I bet you we could sell this event.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like this.
Yeah.
I think Swag would sing. I think Buck would sing.
I think this needs to happen at the Odyssey Portland Christmas party.
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
You know, well, now you're going to get Tim Taylor involved. You want to...
Bring it.
I'll bring the
house down.
All right.
On the Florida thing, I can't remember who it was. There was a college football reporter who said that she drove, I want to say 12 hours. No, that's too far. That's far too far. Well, no, it was 12 different stops.
Okay.
That gas stations were completely out of gas.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that probably could take you 12 hours, though.
No.
I mean, it could have been 12 hours.
It ended up being what was supposed to be a three-hour drive. I remember it now. It was 12 different stops. It was supposed to be a three-hour drive. It ended up taking them like 5.5 hours. But thankfully, they had a full tank of gas when they left. But they had to get gas along the way. Apparently, there's somebody out there. There's a tracking service that's kind of like popped up of like, hey, this place still has gas. So it's going like full post-apocalyptic already. And the hurricane hasn't hit landfall yet.
Dude, that is crazy.
That's insane. Like, every time somebody's like, oh, would you move here? Would you move there? I'm like, look, man, I've got world-ending earthquake. That's all we have to deal with here.
Yeah.
And if that happens, there's no running away from it. You're done.
Yeah. What's amazing?
I'm like, that's cool.
What's amazing to me is that they're saying that Tampa has not seen any kind of a storm of this size or even approaching it in the last, like, 100 years.
It's because it's in the middle.
I don't get it. That's what I'm saying. It's right in the middle of Florida. How is it not caught?
Because sometimes it hits just the tip, and sometimes it just hits the base.
All right, just the tip. Yikes! But you know, I realize sometimes there's Atlantic ones, and some of them come up through the Gulf. But I find it hard that Tampa has managed to avoid most.
Sometimes
of those.
The hurricanes just spend too much time around the taint of America.
Alabama.
Yes. I mean, geographic.
I just can't believe you, I can't believe you're not including Florida in that, though.
Well, I mean, that's more the Florida is the undercarriage itself.
The dangling appendage.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So
of the United States.
Well, yeah. So that northern Gulf Coast has got to be the taint.
Panhandles.
Right?
I mean, it's kind of the balls.
Mind the stepchildren.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. All right.
Tallahassee is the balls of the United States.
Pew and Jordan with an interesting take on this. Flex Seal shareholders just sitting there watching that one guy's house like a hawk.
Oh, exactly.
That guy is going to 100%
get endorsed.
Get his home rebuilt by Flex Seal. And it will be just like it was before, but just so Flex Seal can be like, look, this guy's house held up.
I believe it's pronounced Flex Seal.
Yeah.
Guy's got a wicked lisp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do love it when he just takes the patch and just slams it on the tank, though.
Exactly.
That's some of the best marketing that's ever existed. Like, the only thing it's missing is either, like, spitting on it or licking it.
Yeah.
Like, that's they had done either of those.
Well, it makes me think, like, how do they not have this already when they did a Vegas vacation and trying to stop the dam from
leaking?
Oh,
yes.
From,
yeah.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, just a bit of gum from Clark W. Griswold. Yeah.
Anybody else got any dam questions?
Yeah. Got it.
Hey, I see what you did there. All right, let's get this. Let's get this show on the road.
What have we
As
done?
Rust is gaining fans now just from mentioning Rococo's as a...
see, hey,
Vancouver
look.
Vancouver 4 text line, 503-864-6326. Rust just went up about 10 notches in my book as a Sunset grad. I love a good Rococo's
Hey,
mention.
Look, the good folks know the Rococo's.
Is Rococo's the Sunset version of the sports page in Beaverton? We talking about the same thing?
Oh, could be. Okay. Yeah, Rococo's is an Asian restaurant.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Okay.
And
Then it is not the sports page equivalent.
No, we're probably talking about the Dolphin, too, if we're going there.
Oh, boy.
Well, tell you what, maybe you ever heard of the Eastern Pearl?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll go Eastern Pearl, maybe.
Okay. Okay. Because we lost, what was the name?
Now we're getting into the nitty-gritty of...
Yeah. Niche bar.
Niche
Chinese karaoke joints.
Yeah.
What was the big mushroom top building right off of 217 on Bearden Hillsdale? It's where Home Depot's at now. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, no. Golden Crown.
Golden Crown.
Golden Crown.
That's right.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That was our Chinese food home throughout my entire childhood.
Best egg rolls on the planet.
Yeah. Golden Crown was fantastic.
God, it was so good.
Yes.
They sold out to big business, though.
Yeah.
I respect it.
Well,
somebody offers
the
you a big
health
enough check.
Department. I've always found that my favorite restaurants get closed down by those damn regulations of the health department.
The shadier looking it is, particularly if you're talking about any form of ethnic food, the more I am into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wasn't that what brought down old Beaverton Bakery, too? Didn't they have, like, a rat infestation?
They ended up going completely sideways. Like, somebody was, like, embezzling money there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it went cuckoo.
So it wasn't the rodents, it was the rats.
Yeah, exactly. They had a bunch of them. That ended up being a whole deal. It was sad to see that go, because that was a staple forever.
Yeah. Yeah, well, all right.
You know, good embezzlement.
Yep. Yep. Oh, and the quick Google search says, yeah, there were a lot of health code violations there.
Hey.
God, they made a great cake, though.
Oh, God.
It was a great cake.
Tremendous, yeah.
Tremendous. My father-in-law used to get bread there for the old Beard and Sub Shop for years.
Sure. Yeah.
Also,
it's fantastic.
Underappreciated bakery was the old Bales Thriftway at Cornell and Saltzman. Rest in peace.
Any of the OG Thriftways.
Now at Target.
The individually owned... Thriftways had the best cakes on the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got our wedding cake there.
Yeah, I would say.
So did I. The Garden Home Thriftway.
Yeah, we did the Cornell one.
Lamb's Thriftway in Wilsonville, which is gone now.
Mm-hmm.
I worked there throwing freight when I first got out of the Air Force, and I would see like the cakes that they would make, and I was like, oh my, like this is like stuff you would see on TV.
Tremendous.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like they'd have bakers that worked there for like 30 years. It was nuts.
See, look, this is what you're getting here. Mm-hmm. You're getting hurricane talk.
Bars, karaoke.
We're not really bars. We're going the hybrid restaurant, dive bar, karaoke night.
You gotta love a
and
restaurant.
Now bakeries.
Now defunct bakeries.
Yes. I mean, you gotta love the restaurant has the marquee out front where it doesn't advertise the food, but the karaoke night and the $300 prize.
Yes, and the happy hour specials.
Mm-hmm. When you see that, you're like, yep, that's my place.
I have not seen a prize in quite some time for karaoke. You said that, that used to be like the staple is like karaoke night. It came with, there was money on the line.
Once a month, $300 at the Chinese restaurant in Newburgh.
Wait, let me guess, four blocks from your house?
A little bit further than that. This one's like right, like right when you come into Newburgh.
Look, I don't need a prize. All I need is the audience reaction.
There you go. That sustains you.
I do all it right. for the art.
I love it.
Let's get this show on the road, shall we? This has gone off the rails completely sideways, and
I've achieved my goal.
I would expect Weird. Nothing less from this radio program. All right, coming up, we've got Danny Cannell, 1 o'clock. He's going to talk all things college football with us. Story time with Uncle Jerry. Jerry Allen, voice of the Ducks, will join us at 1:30. But we're going to start this bad boy off. Let's start in the world of college football. This is a big game coming up. Oregon, Ohio State, 2-3 in Autzen Stadium. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Big game coming up in the world of college football. The Oregon Ducks taking on Ohio State. It's going to be a fun one.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Nobody's saying anything about this game.
Nah, yeah, it's kind of flying under the radar here. College Game Day going to be here. NBC Sports going to be here. Mm. We talked to Noah Eagle yesterday. That was a fun conversation. If you missed it, play-by-play man for NBC. He joined us yesterday, and he'll be on the call on Saturday evening down here at Autzen Stadium. If you missed it, that's in the audio vault at 1080thefan.com or right there in the handy-dandy Odyssey app. But this game is you could parse through it so many different ways, because I think one of the more interesting things about this game is how we are at the midway point of the college football season, and we really don't know much about Oregon or Ohio State because of the schedules that they have played. I mean, as it stands right now, the best opponent that either one of these teams has played is Oregon in their win in week 2 against Boise State, where Oregon was still working through a lot of different things on their offensive line.
100%. And then Ohio State, who is their best win? Is it Marshall?
It's the best offense that they've played statistically.
So, you mean, Oregon has very clearly played the best team of the two teams, so it's just it almost feels not that they played preseason, but like they've got their legs underneath them now. But it still very much feels like a very early season matchup for both these teams, because neither team has really been challenged all that much from a personnel standpoint. The Ducks obviously facing the biggest challenge with a 1-score win over Boise State.
And when you have games like these and teams like these, and look, Oregon played Boise State, and that was a very tight game. And in the first half, the offensive line was still in flux. Second half, they changed that up, and they looked far more effective. But even Boise State, that offense that they played, which is the number 3 performing offense nationally in total yards, wildly one-dimensional. That is a one-dimensional team. The engine of Boise State is Ashton Jeanty. Mm-hmm. And so that isn't like a true telling of playing a team that is balanced on both sides of the football. And there, I will give one thing to Ohio State. They have played two really good defenses in back-to-back weeks in Michigan State and Iowa. And we do have one common opponent in Michigan State that, you know, they at least have played good defenses along the way. And UCLA's defense is not the problem. Their offense is absolute train wreck at UCLA. But we don't know a whole heck of a lot about either one of these defenses. And when you look at it on paper, the numbers that Ohio State's defense is putting up are eye-popping, right?
Mm-hmm.
the fact that they have only allowed one play of 30 yards or more all season long is crazy to think about. Think about, they have played five games this season and only one play has been popped on their defense. And oh, by the way, it didn't even go for a gain of 40 yards. They have zero plays against them that have gone 40 yards or more this season. And when you look at how many teams have been able to do that, there's only three nationally. They're the only one in the entire Power Five to have that distinction. That is pretty incredible, and Dan Lanning touched on that earlier this week in his Monday press conference.
They limit explosive plays, right? They do a great job of keeping the ball in front of them. They play really physical in the front. You know, they're able to stop the run. They're really sound and aggressive at times in coverage, but you know, they pitch a lot of different looks at you as well. But it starts, they eliminate explosive plays. They play really sound football. They have good overlap in their defense. They're able to change the picture up. They have, you know, really good D linemen, good edges. And then they're able to cover, you know, outside. So they create a lot of challenges there.
I think that is the thing when you look at this game, Danny, is that, I mean, we can talk till we're blue in the face about the opponents that Ohio State has faced. What they have done against them defensively is undeniable. They are really dang good at every level of that defense.
Yeah, I was just taking a look at where they stack up, right? And we are now at the point of the season where they're starting to play teams for the most part. Oregon and Ohio State obviously not being challenged in conference and really until this week. And Ohio State currently leads the nation in points allowed.
Yep. 6.8 per game.
34 total points. Right behind them is Texas at 35. Now, we've seen Texas play some teams. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we kind of, at least where I go, I've seen Texas play some teams and their stats are almost identical to Ohio State's. Ohio State's at 230, Texas at 225 scored, 34 allowed versus 35. But if you take a look at what Ohio State has done, like to that point, their rush defense grades out as one of the best in the country. I mean, their ability to stop the ball on the ground and force you to put it up in the air is an interesting thing. And you take a look at kind of where Ohio State sits and what they're able to do to you is take away the things I think you really want to do. And it was, I think for Oregon, you got on track last weekend with Jordan James and getting those chunk plays and having those opportunities and getting more comfortable and getting that offensive line, you know, in tune and in sync because they've got a couple games together. That's the thing that I'm really interested in seeing, because coming into this season, this was the weakness for Ohio State was supposedly going to be on the offensive line. They were going to be great on the defensive line. Okay, so I think that's your contrast is Oregon coming into the season, while Oregon's offensive line was going to be very good. The injuries and inconsistencies early on kind of, okay, let's kind of see where things go. You've got two trench matchups between these teams that I think that each one has an advantage on the other side of the ball. And I think it's going to be really interesting just to see if or when and how great those matchups kind of show up. And I think that's going to be, you've got massive, massive, massive game breakers on both sides. I think Ohio State probably has the edge there with the absolute freaks on in the wide receiver core and in the running back room. But I think you've got some pushback from Oregon on both sides of the trenches that could end up being the thing that allows them to swing this.
And that is going to be the interesting part, and this is kind of the thing that you keep hearing from the Michigan State people that are kind of spouting out there. And you read it. Yeah, I actually heard Josh Pate on with Dirt and Sprague this morning. He said that he's had people from Michigan State say in the trenches, Oregon was more physically dominant than Ohio State was. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a couple of factors that could be at play there. One, that Oregon does play a very physical brand of football, and especially on the offensive and defensive line. It also is, it may be seemingly more physical when you only have 6 days of rest, right? Mm-hmm. Because they were on a short week as well, playing Ohio State on a Saturday and then coming to Eugene and playing that game on a Friday. The reality, though, and to the point of what you were talking about with Ohio State's defense, I've seen people try to discredit what they do defensively because of the fact that they're blowing teams out, right? Mm-hmm. And people will immediately want to jump to, well, yeah, you can have a great rush defense if, you know, your teams are playing from behind. last week, I looked just last week alone at the Michigan State game, or the Iowa game, right? That team was trailing 7-0 at halftime, Iowa was. 7-0. They had 18 yards rushing at half.
Yeah.
That wasn't like the dam broke, all we can do is throw the ball and whip the ball down around the field. No. They were in a game where it was 7-0, and Ohio State was putting the screws to them. I also, granted, it is Iowa. They are allergic to offense.
Yes.
But their running back was really damn good.
Yes.
They had been able to run the football.
And they do.
And they ended up, when they got behind it after a 21-point third quarter from Ohio State, they ran the ball for almost 100 yards in the second half.
And we were talking about
Iowa. From behind.
We were talking about Iowa. The team is like, you look at them, they are not a team that doesn't send NFL players or send players to the NFL on that offensive line. That is a, that is an offensive lineman factory. Like, so you're talking, it's not like this team, it's not Illinois, it's not Purdue, it's Iowa. And yes, they're allergic to offense, but they're not allergic to having big, just monstrous maulers on that offensive line that can, you know, even if you put nine guys in the box, it can still get something done. And the other thing is, Ohio State, even if you're saying, oh, you know, the teams don't run on them because they're getting up, well, teams are trying to throw on them. They've got, according to PFF, they've got the 17th best coverage grade in the country. So if you're saying that, fine, their rush defense isn't good, well, fine. Then teams are trying to throw on them all game, and they're still locking them down.
Yeah, and Caleb Johnson, by the way, Iowa's running back, second leading rusher in the country, only to Ashton Jeanty.
Which you'd having, hear me hearing a lot about him, if not for Ashton Jeanty having maybe the best running back season we've had in 40 years.
So, and in the back end, look, this defensive backfield is nuts. When you have Caleb Downs, Denzel Burke, and then Lathan Ransom is the other corner. So you go Burke and Ransom, and then you have Caleb Downs as one of your safeties. They are so good in coverage on the back end. Like, they got three NFL dudes in the back end. And then when you look up front, JT Tuimoloau, who five-star recruit from up in Washington. He's just right, Pacific Northwest guy, right? Tuimoloau is like the star, right? From a productivity standpoint, he really isn't this year. Because up front, they've got, what is it? Ty Hamilton, Tyleek Williams, and then Jack Sawyer. Their front four, they're all playing like NFL dudes right now.
Well, Sawyer's a complete lunatic.
They
are. He looks like the Ohio State lunatic that they have every couple of years.
Dominant.
Oh, yeah. You're different.
So that defense is really damn good. And look, what it comes down to with Oregon is, all right, we've seen that defense play outstanding football. Right, the starting defense has not given up a touchdown since the Oregon State game, because the only touchdown they gave up against UCLA was an offensive touchdown. The only 10 points that the only touchdown that Michigan State got was with backups on the field. Oregon's defense is playing lights out too, and has been wildly effective over the last three games, especially where. But you look at what challenge did they get? They got a challenge from Boise State. And Boise State, in their running game with the best back in the country, who's doing something that, as you said, nobody's done in 40 years, they racked up yards on them. They got a couple big pop yards. And this is the thing, is that, you know, we can go and we could talk about the 12 carries that Ashton Jeanty had that were at 3 yards or less in that game. And that is... that was really good by Oregon's defense. But the reality is that he popped one for 70 that kept him in a game after a turnover. He ended up having another big one that turned into points later on the drive on a first down. Explosive plays, especially, and Oregon fans will know this. Anybody that watched college football in the state of Oregon will know this. Chip Kelly's offense thrives on explosives and making you pay off of them. There is the element of they will lull you to sleep and then they will pop the big one. And then that is when the avalanche starts. That's how Chip always operates. Even if his offense isn't operating at a breakneck speed like the Blur did when he was a head coach at the University of Oregon, it is explosives lead to the avalanche coming down the mountain at you. Can Oregon limit those explosives? I think that's going to be the biggest thing defensively, outside of which defense can create the turnovers. It is which team limits the explosive plays, because we have seen both of these teams thrive when they get that big momentum swinging play and then they go for the jugular right after. That's going to be fun, man.
Just taking a look at, because I wanted to see where Sawyer ranks. Jack Sawyer, according to PFF, is one of the highest graded pass rushers in the country right now. It's an 86.1. He's got a nearly 20% win rate.
Geesh.
That means that man is influencing the quarterback once every five dropbacks.
He's really dang good, man.
That's a game breaker.
He really is, and he has been everything that they could have asked for and a little bit more up front. Ohio State's playing really good football right now. All right, dang. We got a big injury in the NFL. We'll get to that after us with SportsCenter. A big injury in the world of the NFL, man.
Indeed.
Nico Collins hitting the IR. He'll be out for at least 4 weeks on the injured reserve.
So my hope that, hey, you didn't pull up lame during the game and you didn't see it in specifically pop. Well, those concerns haven't been alleviated at all.
No. This is a major concern because when you got Ferraris on the outside, you hurt a hamstring. Four games is going to be very optimistic for the Houston Texans because of the fact that you have and Nico Collins, make no bones about it, he was playing like a top five receiver in the NFL.
Yes.
I mean, he was leading the league in receiving. It's like, duh. No. Everything else that he was doing to get guys open and to, as a route runner, as an offensive, you talk about this all the time in the NBA, Danny, the gravity offensively that he has.
The eyes that get pulled.
Defenses are shading towards him. You're having an extra set of eyes always on where Nico Collins is. That's a game changer. And he took a giant leap from where he was even a year ago, where he was wildly impressive. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Stephon Diggs and the acquisition that he had, you can't ignore Stephon Diggs and you can't ignore Tank Dell. But now you have that acquisition of Diggs is exponentially more important for the Houston Texans moving forward.
Yeah, because, I mean, you look at Diggs still. It's not like he's, like, fallen off or anything like that. He's still been tremendous this year. And I was just looking. Not only is Collins this guy that kind of delivers in the big moments and brings you all these opportunities because he's pulling other guys open, but he also led the NFL in converted first downs on catches. Yep. Like, so it's like this is a guy who's not only, you know, making catches that, you know, not all catches are created equal. Not all yards are created equal. Guys that can consistently and know how, when, where to get to the chains so that you're keeping things on time, making big plays, or keeping things moving is a huge, huge deal. And what's interesting is when you look at the league leaders right now, Nico Collins is one, Stephon Diggs is number four. So it's not like Stephon Diggs has fallen off by any measure. But this is going to be an issue for Houston, because they are a team that, despite C.J. Stroud being very good, they've been a little inconsistent in their wins. It's interesting. They're 4-1, Dusty, and we talked about this the other day. That whole division has a negative point differential, including Houston. Houston's a minus 12. Now, that can be a swing of one game or two games, but typically when you see a team that's 4-1, you don't associate with a team that's a negative 12 or even a negative point differential.
Well, I mean, they went to Minnesota and got their ass kicked.
Yep.
And I think that obviously stands out. But every other win has been a one-score game.
Yep.
And they have not played a juggernaut schedule. There is we talk about the sophomore slump all the time, and it's usually not a regression mechanically or a regression mentally for the quarterback. It is the NFL catches up to you, and the NFL adjusts to you. And C.J. Stroud is still really damn good, and he is going to be a good quarterback in the NFL for a very long time. But teams are adjusting, and they're not putting up numbers in droves. I mean, hell, they haven't scored 30 points all season long, and now 30 points is a lot in the National Football League. But the highest output that their offenses had was week one against the Colts, right? And so you've seen teams adjust. you've seen teams give them their best shot, and you're always going to punch up when you have a season like you had last year. You're going to have a tougher schedule inherently with the way the NFL scheduling works. So there was always going to be this natural, all right, they're going to pull back. But at 4-1, you can't ask for much better of a start. And look, if you're going to have Nico Collins miss a four-game stretch, this is the one you want him to, where you have the Patriots, the Packers. That's going to be a very tough game. The Colts and the Jets. I don't know how long this is going to be. If I wouldn't rush Nico Collins back with a hamstring injury by any stretch, because if you rush him back for that fifth game against Detroit, then you're mortgaging your future. Right now, where Houston is this is a good stretch where you have two teams that are just absolute doo-doo on there in New England and the Jets. And then you have this roller coaster that has been the Indianapolis Colts. And we know Joe Flacco had a great game last week, the 350, and the tutties all over the field. But you can slow Joe Flacco down, and we've seen that before.
Comeback player of the year, Joe Flacco.
If you, it's not, don't even get me started on it. A guy died, and Joe frigging Flacco won the comeback player of the year. Absolutely incredible.
Well, I mean, look, man, what's more impressive, coming back from the dead or coming back from old?
Coming back from the dead.
I don't know.
The one game in there,
Joe
though, that
Flacco.
Joe Flacco, and they've already beat the Colts once, right? So you got the, you've already have that. If it comes into a tiebreaker scenario, you already have one win over the Colts, and you get them at home. And if you get the Colts at home, you think that with Stephon Diggs and the rest of your targets, Joe Mixon is healthy, and Kincaid and Tank Dell, yeah, you could win that game too. The one in there is Green Bay. That's the game that you're saying, man, having Nico Collins would have been useful in that one, a trip to Green Bay. But at the same time, you know, this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. If you go through a four-game stretch, 3-1, hell, even 2-2, you're going to be sitting pretty because, as you mentioned at the beginning of this, that division has a negative point differential across the board.
And you can get away with a couple wins. And look, Bob Myers, who's the former executive for the Warriors, who's now working for the Commanders, he said something the other day. I don't know if it's a TED Talk or something along those lines. Wouldn't shock me.
Oh boy.
But he said, the difference in the NBA and the NFL is this. Klay Thompson had a bad road trip, and I went over to his house and was like, hey, where are you at? And he goes, oh, you know, I just, my head wasn't in it, you know, but, you know, I'm good. I'm back now. I'm, you know, after that week, I'm back. I'm good. And Bob Myers goes, all right, well, you know, we'll see you back tomorrow. And as he walks out, Clay goes, who do we play tomorrow? And he goes, that's such a stark difference, because if you lose a game in the NFL, that one game, it feels like somebody died.
Mm-hmm.
The impact of that one game. So I'm not trying to, like, to say that you can get away with dropping games. But if you're in that division and you're playing the way that you're playing and you're trying to not maximize how many wins you can get and what seeding and this and that, you're just trying to make sure you're healthy and peaking going into the playoffs. If you drop a game to the Lions, who's in another conference, who's in another division, but you continue to stack up your AFC wins, and it means, hey, man, look, we don't have one of our, if not our best weapon, but it means down the road we have a better chance of having him. That, to me, is that's an organization that is looking long scope as opposed to the short term. And I think if you kind of see that from the Texans heading down that path, you get the understanding that they believe in who they are and who they can be, as opposed to trying to prove it to either to themselves or to everyone else.
All right, one more injury note in the NFL that we probably need to get to with the local flair. Danny Dusty on the Fan. All right, we got a quick one here because we got Danny Cannell coming up top of the hour, courtesy of our folks at BetAG or betonline.ag. Talk some college football. But one more injury in the NFL that we need to get to. Oh. Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yes.
Yeah, Kayvon Thibodeau is going to miss a few weeks. Former Oregon Duck. He had surgery because he broke a bone in his wrist, and he's going to be week to week. They do expect him to miss some time. Apparently, he did it in the win over the Seahawks on Sunday up in Seattle, and played through it and then got reevaluated, and he had surgery. So Kayvon Thibodeau going to miss a few weeks. He's been playing really well for them.
Yeah, no, I mean, you take a look at that Giants team, and that it's defined by their pass rush. That's what it is. And if you take that away, I mean, yes, you still have Brian Burns, which is still really helpful, and you still have Dexter Lawrence, which is still really helpful. But look, Thibodeau, I don't want to say he underperformed, but I think it took him a little while to kind of really get going. And in the last 18 months, he's been an absolute dude. He's been an absolute dude and kind of been what everybody expected him to be. You know, the five-star prospect that just dominated. And it's a bummer to see that happen because there's actually quite a few pass rushers in the NFL that have been dealing with some nicks and knocks that have limited him. Obviously, name a Bosa, and, you know, they're fighting something. Max Crosby has basically been not practicing for weeks and then somehow getting out there and going in games.
Yeah, it's called Toradol.
Good Lord. I mean, it's a high ankle sprain. He had a sack this weekend, and I look, and they're like, it doesn't look like his ankle's bothering him. I'm like, yeah, it's because they shot him up with horse tranquilizers. What are you doing? But, I mean, you're talking about, again, here in Kayvon Thibodeau, he's having surgery on a broken bone in his hand, and he's, day-to-day.
Mm-hmm. Like these guys, week to week, I'm sorry, week to week, yeah. Week to week.
Yeah. But again, like you're talking about a surgery on is there something more important to a pass rusher than their hands?
Yeah, their legs.
I mean, like when you're talking about how active and how
hand fighting, and especially a guy like Kayvon Thibodeau who doesn't use like a bull rush, but a shoulder in. He is more of a long arm. And
he's a lever guy.
A punch rip guy.
Yeah.
He's not a bull rush, just kind of get my haunches behind me and push you back. No, he is a long arm is his best move. But that it's going to be a little bit of a while, but you club that thing up and get it back on the field. But Kayvon Thibodeau out for the New York Giants week to week. And they had a big win in Seattle. I'm glad I had the Giants plus 6.5.
Yeah,
and the big dogs continue to cover and win straight up.
Mm.
What is going on? Now they can go back to losing again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, they're the Giants. I mean.
Fair.
Sad. Fair. Sadness all around.
Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones is right. All right, let's get back on this Oregon-Ohio State game. And the other big games in college football. This is a great weekend of college football, for goodness sakes.
I like it.
This is the October 12th weekend that all of those psychopaths were scheduling their weddings on. To talk more about the weekend that will be in college football and get a preview of this number 3 Oregon hosting number 2 Ohio State, Danny Cannell joins us next. This is Danny and Dusty, the real one. We'll get to that next hour on The Fan.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.